where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence, the truth of who we are. And that's what we're talking about with Carly Isis Ibrahim Sananda today. Carly, thank you so much for joining and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited, actually.
It is my pleasure to have you here, because we talked before we started recording about what we were going to talk about today, and it was the most beautiful feminine, so kind of hard to actually give you in one line, but beautiful exploration of all things truth and power and fully embodying who you really are and the path that you're here to walk. You know, Carly said to me that if you're living in a point where your life doesn't feel like, you're like, this just doesn't feel right, it feels kind of icky, it feels like I'm meant for more, I'm destined for more, then that's when you would call her. So I believe that today we're going to have a bit of a catalyst for who we really are to step out and be fully embodied in the world and to get what we want out of life. So welcome, Carly. It's so exciting.
Thank you. I just had complete goosebumps when I heard you talking. Like, they're my favorite words, my buzzwords: truth, power, authenticity, you know, that whole thing about embodiment, really sinking this down into our bones and our blood and our muscles. You know, this is embodied spirit, and that's the place of power that we actually have available. And I love talking about this stuff. I love teaching people this stuff, and I love seeing when people get it and they're walking around in the world, in the everyday world, with this knowledge on board, with this truth on board, and this power of who they really are. And they're unapologetic, and that is my ideal, is to have a world full of humans walking around fully embodied, fully on path and in alignment, and just the love for your life comes then. There's no other way to exist when you've got in full embodiment of your own truth. So, I loved hearing you say that. Just like all over. Thank you.
Yeah, and this resonates so much with my path as well, because mine is all about divine essence and really living an inspired life, which is a life in connection with spirit.
Yeah.
And so the divine essence to me is your truth. And so you're kind of like, you go to school, you get raised by parents who have been conditioned in like a school system and whatever else they've been through. And you get told you're like this boxed version of who you are, and this is what's like possible for you. Just stay in here and life will be fine. And
don't freak me out. Stay in that box.
Yeah. That's like, there's so much more out there. And as I started to uncover it, at first I was like, I'm going to force feed this down everyone's throats. And then I got sick of trying to force it. So now I have a podcast so people can come here. But it's like one of my favorite things to talk about is that there is so much more that's possible and we get to create it. Yeah. So how did you stumble across all of this? Like, what's your story been like? Were you born in a box too?
Oh my God, I was born in the biggest box. Holy moly. I was just thinking when you're talking about the box, I remember having a conversation when I was about 15 with my school careers advisor. And I was like, she said, what do you want to be? I was living in like rural, you know, New South Wales, Australia. She said, what do you want to be? I said, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to be famous. And she looked at me and went, why is that? And I said, because I love it, and it's, you know, it's so creative and it's just so natural. And she said to me, you're really good at English, don't you want to just do that? And I just felt all the wind go out of my sails. Mm. So I found that at school I was really, really creative. I loved dance, I loved singing, I loved painting. There was no support for it. In fact, I was actively told not to do it, and I was actively told that would interfere with my studies at 7. And so it was like I learned really, really early on that my nature, my creative nature wasn't welcome. And there was a place for that, and you should just get a job and you know, be sensible like everybody else. But I never fit the mold. I never, ever fit the mold. I remember asking, I was seen as disruptive as a kid because I'd just ask all these questions and they'd say, well, the first fleet landed on this date. And I'd say, well, how do you know? And I, well, because it's in the history. And I remember being 7 or 8 saying, but how do you know the history is accurate? How do you know those people wrote it accurately? And everybody was like, stop asking us questions, you odd child.
Do you know, I've got to interrupt and tell you, yeah. I was that child as well.
I love it.
So we were taught, like, I don't know, trigonometry and stuff. And I would put my hand up, be like, oh, cool, Kiara, because I was intelligent. So, like, Kiara, this must be an intelligent question. And I was like, why do I need to know this? Like, what is this going to do for my life? I really wanted to know why and to understand why it was worth putting into my brain before I would put it into my brain. So many questions for the box. There's the system that we're hopefully, I feel like now, they're really changing the system a little. Like, you know, there needs to be a complete overhaul, but there is a few changes in terms of kids can ask questions and there's like inquiry time and collaboration and absolutely. Things like that. But yeah, sorry, honey, I just wanted to interrupt. Oh, no. You go back to your story.
No. I think that it's critical. And I've got nieces and they ask me questions and I answer them with a question. I'm like, what do you think? What feels right for you? You know, and not because that's the right way to do it. But if there's one thing I want to instill in people, it's never stop asking questions, never stop trying to find a better way, never stop asking why. Why am I doing this? Why am I in this relationship? Why am I in this work? You know, is it in alignment with my heart's truth? I just didn't know that's why I was doing it back then. And so that's sort of in the school system. But outside of the school system, I was always a bit of a weird in my family because I used to see ghosts and, you know, and they gave me a really hard time.
What was that like? Like, that's just like, oh, you know, I used to see ghosts and they gave me a bit of really hard time. Like, just kind of over it. What was it like to grow up?
I forget that people don't have those experiences. Sometimes it was okay. There was a few of them around that were fine. But sometimes I was really, really frightened. I used to have them walk through the doors in the middle of the night, walk around my room and start, you know, going through my toy box. And I'm like in the bed next to it going, well, I don't know what's happening. So I'd run into my sister's room. And as I got older, before I actually started my healing training in earnest, so I started that training probably 10 years ago, I ended up where they used to actually drag me out of bed and I'd wake up and my arms and legs would be sort of up in the air and I'd be being pulled, pulled out of bed. That hasn't happened since I've kind of learnt what to do. And I've grown in my own spiritual power. I've grown in my capacity to work with energies. Now I do house clearings and, you know, healings on humans and all of that kind of stuff. So as I've grown in my spiritual power, they don't tend to bother me, certainly not like that. But, yeah, that was normal. That was situation normal for me. I always loved astrology. I was reading about astrology since I could read. I used to read people's palms. I was fascinated with psychics. No one in my family does this or has this.
So what, you have like a mum that's a teacher and a dad that's a truck driver or something?
Dad's a policeman and mum worked in a bank.
Yeah, right, okay. And they
owned their house and they were Mr. and Mrs. Australian, you know, and then there was me and I eventually didn't share a lot of it because it's just people think you're making it up and it's, she's talking to her imaginary friend and I was like, yeah, I do, and now I do too, but they're just angels and, you know, ascended masters and stuff. So I'm like, go for the imaginary friends. It's really good training for when you're starting to talk to spirit later on. So it all sort of kicked off for me early, really early. I was always a bit weird and I was always a bit spiritually inclined. I went to my first psychic at 13.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you know? I've got goosebumps thinking about it. I was like, how? How do you know what you know? I have to know this. So, I was always really into that. And then I was about 21 and I was I was going through some really bad, I'd had really bad rheumatoid arthritis as a kid, really bad, so that I, you know, I couldn't walk. I was inside most of the time. I couldn't play. And so it was really quite painful. And it went away for a period of time and then it came back when I was about 20 and it was in both knees. And the doctor said to me, okay, I think you need to come to terms with the fact that you're just never going to walk properly again. And they sent me to a specialist. I know I was 21, just going, I dance, I sing, I run. What am I going to do? And so they sent me to a specialist and he said, okay, well, we'll put you on this really strong anti-cancer drug that's an immunosuppressant. It'll eat your stomach away, but hey, you'll be able to walk again. And I was like, every fibre in my being went, there's got to be a better way. I had at the same time met a lady at a psychic fair because I loved going to see psychics and crystals and all that stuff. I met her and she said to me, you know, what's going on with your knee? And I was like, how do you know that? She's like, well, I am a psychic. Like, honestly, I swear I asked some really dumb questions too, so they're not all smart. And she said to me, well, you know, I'm a psychic healer. And I was like, oh, what is that? I didn't even know what it was. This is 21, I was. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give this woman a go. Against everybody's advice, it was a lot of money for me at the time. I was just working my first job and everybody was like, get a guarantee, you know, nothing will happen, blah, blah, all the same stuff that's leveled against psychic healers now. And after the first session, about 45 minutes, she never laid a hand on me, but I could feel her hands. I could feel them inside my skin. I could feel her, I thought it was her, at my head and at my feet, and I was aware of all these other beings that were there and doing work. And after that session, I went straight to the doctor's office and he said, okay, you know, show me this horrible knee, you know. And I looked at it and the healing, like, had taken away all the swelling and all the heat and all of the pain was gone after 45 minutes. And after I went back a few more times and it was gone. That was something I'd had for 15 years. Wow. I'd been to all the doctors and all the tests and all the drugs and none of it helped. None of it helped. And I looked at this woman and I said to her after that first session, I was like, I don't know what you know, but I need to know what you know. And so she started teaching me. She said, you know, go and look up Ayurveda, go and learn about yoga, go and study this, study that. I did some study with her and eventually did my diploma in energetic healing and then moved on to coaching and ended up sharing a practice space with her about 10 years later in a crazy, crazy way. But I learnt this through the experience of it, and I learnt what I learnt in my own physical healing, I learnt to apply to my life. So I'm like, okay, cool. So if our bodies aren't set, matter isn't set, you know, if you look at the quantum physics of it, matter is there sometimes and it's not there sometimes. It's affected by our thoughts and our observation. Just looking at something changes its state. So once I started to realize this, I'm like, oh my God, you know, we have so much more freedom than even I understood. I always knew we were limited, but I didn't understand how much, and I didn't understand why we were trained to be limited. Because honestly, in the truth of our capacity and the truth of our power, we are absolutely unlimited beings. We can move matter with our minds. We can change reality in a split second. We could change lives, countries. Well, we can create all of this stuff just by knowing that we can create it. Knowing how to is a different thing. But once I started to get my eye on that, what I see is actually an illusion, it's not set, and how I'm thinking about what I'm seeing isn't real either, it's not set. It's just we're blind to this most of the time. And why? Because it keeps us in a state that people around us can be comfortable, you know. Parents are comfortable with you. Well, my parents were comfortable when I was seen and not heard. Parents were comfortable when I was in university and getting myself a good job. They're not comfortable when I take off to foreign countries and stay there for 6 months or say I'm going to go and see a healer or woohoo, I'm going to study to be a healer. But they're not comfortable with that. And that's okay, That's okay for them not to be comfortable, but it's me that needs to be comfortable, because that is my power, is moving outside the limitations of what I grew into. Mm. And I feel like I have a bloody master's degree in moving beyond limitation. I have a master's degree in the dark night of the soul. This isn't working. I can't do this. There's more to me than this. Mm. And now I can teach people everything I've learned across the last 25 years of studying this stuff and practicing this stuff, how to create step by step, minute by minute, second by second, how to create a different experience for them, for themselves, starting now. You just start where you stand. You don't have to do another course. You just have to have a little bit of information and a little bit of application, and you're away.
Mm, that is good, because I'm kind of coursed out at the moment. I feel like I've done a lot in the last year.
Yep.
And I'm just ready to accept that I've got everything I need and I can just apply it all.
Yep.
But on that, you know, I'm always wanting to learn more. So I'm still reading and stuff all the time. And I know our listeners are listening because they want to learn more. So can you share with us, like, if we didn't have to go to another course, or, you know, if we weren't going to miraculously have some kind of awakening, like we actually talked about on the last episode, what are some of the stuff that we can do at home to start recognizing how powerful we are and creating the version of us in and embodying that we want to be?
First thing I'd say is you don't actually need to become someone different. Who you are, it's already there. It's just buried under conditioning and programming and I'm not good enough and I'm too old, young, tall, short, educated, uneducated, fill in your thing here to do blah. And that's all excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. So I would say, one, start to get to know that there's more to you than you yet know, and start to feel into your heart. So I always say to people, what would make your heart sing and your soul happy? Start there. And it may be something simple. People always go, oh, I don't know what my life purpose is. Don't worry about it. I'll make your heart sing. Oh, that's singing, or that's spending time with my animals or my kids, or that's painting, or it's serving people, you know, on a global platform. What makes your heart sing? That's the first place to start. Forget about all the I can'ts and all the you can't make money out of doing what you love. That's all conditioning. It's all conditioning. If you believe it, guess what? It'll be true.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think you've consciously moved past it and you unconsciously still believe it, it will show itself again to you. So first part is go into your heart. In your heart of hearts, if you could pray to God and ask for one thing, or ask for more of one thing, what would that be? Like, start to get comfortable delving into yourself further. That's the first thing. Second thing is start to uncover all the little blocks and the little barriers and the little thoughts and the little beliefs and the little ways that we interrupt ourselves. Start to look at all of those that are in the road of you doing more of that. And do what you can to remove them. So if that's making a list of, you know, your blocks or your fears or your self-judgments and burning it's amazing. It's such a simple thing. But it actually, the power of fire transmits the energy. And writing something down, people always say to me, why don't I write stuff down? Always getting clients to do this. What I've come to understand about writing things down is it's the first act of creation. So writing a thought or a feeling or a belief is the first act of actual creation into the physical third dimension that brings it from your mental, spiritual, emotional energy fields into the third dimension. So it actually moves it into the third dimension in a physical way. And then you can work with it. You can bury it. If it's something you want to grow, you can bury it. If it's something you want to get rid of, you can burn it. You know, you can put it on a river and watch it float away. Do whatever it is that you want. But it's a really, really powerful thing, writing things down, because it's a creative act. It's in a very deliberate act. So that's something you can do to move things, move thoughts, feelings, beliefs, limitations, memories. Memories are really powerful. Because memories lead to decisions. So I talk a lot about decisions. Our decisions are incredibly powerful and they carry a lot of energetic weight. And what I've seen through my healing work is that in between lives, in the death state, we make decisions about life or about our lives in particular, or perhaps our gender or our work. So I've seen a lot of things like, it's not safe to be a woman. It's too hard to be a man. I never want to be a fill in your job here. I never want to do that again. It's not safe to be seen, you know, particularly deep wounding that we make decisions about in the death state. And they actually carry with us through our soul energy. And they start to play out in subsequent lives. So be mindful of our decisions that we've made about painful experiences or painful memories that we've had, and start to look at what we decided either about ourselves or about our capacity or about what was possible in those painful memories. That's your goal, because that's where your limitations and your resistances will start to show up. So start to move those out of the road. So you've got in touch with your heart's desires, or you're getting in touch with them. Now you're starting to get in touch with what's stopping you, so you can do what you can to move them.
And those can be so damn sneaky, like you don't even know that they're there. Yeah. I only recently uncovered that I believed that I couldn't trust men, not physically, like I didn't ever feel I was in harm's way or like unsafe physically, but I did feel like I couldn't trust them for emotional support. And we don't even notice, but that was actually a decision that I made in the womb. I've since realized through some healing, because my mum made that decision while I was in her womb.
Sounds about right.
Yep. And knowing my dad, I can understand. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But it's things like throwaway statements, like people have always said around me, like the women that I admired around me said things like, oh, they're just men, or, oh, you know, like they won't ever understand. Little things like that, where they've obviously got such an unconscious belief. They wouldn't even know they don't trust men emotionally, but they had it unconsciously to the point where they say those things like it's truth, like, oh, that's just a man, he wouldn't understand. And actually the man that I'm with now does understand, like he gets me and he can support me emotionally. But if we're still living those untruths in our life or believing them, then we're creating that and not allowing the opposite to come into our life. So I just wanted to point out, like, sneaky little red flag here. Notice the things that you say that you've never even realized where you learnt it, and that it just feels like truth, like, you know, you're walking on a ground. Of course you're walking on a ground. And then you look down and you're like, hang on a second, actually this isn't carpet that I thought it was, it's grass. Like, we just need to look at the things that have been so unconscious. They're usually where the sneaky little buggers hang out.
Without a doubt. And one of the most critical things to evaluate is our language. I pull people up all the time on our language. You know, I had someone who used to always say, as an actor, and he'd always say, it's okay, I'm a starving artist. And I said, well, if that's what you want to be, then keep saying that. He's like, oh, but it's just a figure of speech. I'm like, it's never a figure of speech, because when you look at the subconscious mind, which is where all of our programming is stored, it's a vast warehouse that processes so many millions upon millions of more bits of information than our conscious mind can actually take in. So it's unfiltered. So it's taking in vast amounts of information, even things that we don't consciously hear or see or understand. It's not filtering them. They're just going in. So between 0 to 5 or 0 to 7, when all of our unconscious patterning's happening, we don't have the consciousness to be able to say, actually, mum's having a bad day, or of course mum's going to have a bad experience with men, look at dad. You know, we don't have any capacity to filter, so all of that goes in and we take that on. The other thing I've seen from the energy healing perspective is that kids take an energetic imprint. Oh, I've got goosebumps again. Kids take an energetic imprint of their parents. So they look at their parents energetically, but not consciously, of course. And it's almost like they take an energetic snapshot and embody that. That's how you have to be in the world. The problem that we have with that is you take all the good and all the bad and you don't have a way to filter any of it. So then, you know, you get to our age and you find someone like me or someone like you, and you have to undo all of that stuff that you took on that was ever yours to begin with, and you never had a chance to consciously sift through.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that work and you haven't done that work yet, you're literally letting like the five-year-old version of you run your life and make choices. That's how important this stuff is. Like, we're just heaped in with all of this patterning and like decisions that we made from 0 to 7 that run our life. And I know the first time I ever realized that is when one of my mentors said to me, "Oh, and how old do you think you are when you're talking right now?" And I was like, 7. Like, I just realized I was this little kid. I noticed that my voice changed and I become like almost like a tantruming little toddler. Like, I just don't like it. And I can do that today, and I'm 25. Like, we still can, if we notice that our voice changes back to sounding like a little kid, that's a good indicator you're just running off old patterning.
Absolutely. And I, the work that I teach as well is 1,000% about integration. So that little girl has validity, and she has value, and she has honor, and she has needs. And it, so it's not about going, "Oh, shut up, little girl," or, you know, forgetting about her or neglecting her or releasing her or, you know, killing the ego or any of that stuff. I'm not a proponent of that at all. Mm-hmm. It's about, how do I integrate all of these parts of me? And this is something that's incredibly powerful that I teach, because this is what I learnt to do myself, is that the 6-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 7-year-old, the tantrum thrower, the one who doesn't want to be seen, the one who just goes, "Get away from me, leave me alone," all of those ones, they all have value and they all need to be integrated, because when we're fully integrated with our light and our shadow, that's when we're at full power. There's actually nothing that can derail us when we're holding both with equal value and equal measure. So integrating these pieces, healing what needs to be healed and releasing what needs to be released, absolutely, and establishing a right order. It's almost like the right order of self. So when you're playing with your nieces and nephews, yeah, bring out your 7-year-old. That's a good time to let her run the show. When you're starting your own business, you probably want to call on a different aspect of self, right? So so this is all the self-inquiry work, is really getting to know the aspects of self that are super powerful. When I call it bringing them back into the fold. So the part that's jealous, the part that ruins your relationships, they all have value. They're all trying to keep you safe. They're all trying to keep you on the right path. They just need a bit of a course correction now and then. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that these parts are wrong. They're just to be worked with and delved into, so you can help them release the bits that are scary, so you can come back to moving forward towards the life that you love and creating the life that you love with all of you on board. None of you's been left in the dark. And that's a place where we can really come into full power. That's real integration and the embodiment.
Mm-hmm. When I notice that my little girl or another aspect of self shows up, I now observe. Like, I just like imagine if I could see inside of me and there was a little part of me that went, like there was like a little girl inside, what would she be doing and what would she want to tell me and what would I want to say to her and do I want to hug her and those sorts of things, like just... Because often it's like I wasn't seen or I was neglected or whatever else. So if we just neglect them, that's just going to further create separation. Mm. So totally agree with you there on embracing. Mm. Do you have other ways that you recommend? Like, I've got like deep processes that are kind of hard to explain on a podcast. Do you have other ways that are like DIY, integrate different parts of yourself that you could share with us?
Yeah, I'd say if you've got the deeper work, definitely get a coach or a mentor or someone who's trained in this. I would advocate someone who's trained and who has great experience and who comes with a high recommendation. I'm concerned that there's some coaches out there that have done like a one-day course and now it's that you kind of let loose on these people who really need help. Like, we all, when we need help, we need help and we need solid guidance and really solid structure around the processes that we go through, because as you know, they can be quite impactful, very impactful. So one of the really simple ways that I encourage people to do is similar to what you were talking about, imagine she's inside of you. For me, it's always been easier to imagine they're sitting in front of me. So I go through a process that I've developed where I bring the aspect of self, and I talk clients through this, and the aspect of self in to sit with me and I have a conversation. And I'm also, I'm really good at decoding spirit's signals. So I notice what she's wearing, or he, what she or he is wearing, what they look like. You know, are they slumped over? Are they looking healthy and radiant? Are they tired? How are they feeling? You know, so I notice all of these signals, because there's so much wisdom in what you're being shown from spirit or your higher self when you meet these parts of self.
Mm-hmm. And so, your imagination, just in that, because it's only 100%. What I learned recently, your imagination is like a way of spirit guiding you to understand that. So it's not like, oh, I just made up what she's wearing. Your imagination created that for a reason.
Absolutely. And the imagination is, it's the same faculty. It's the same faculty as what, you know, downloading this information. So that's why I say, when you're young, having imaginary friends is really good training for when you get older. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter if you're imagining it or not, the healing will happen because you're moving energy. It doesn't matter if you make it up. And I've seen people just go, oh, I just made that up. I'm like, well, do you feel better? Yeah, okay. Then what does it matter if you made it up or it actually happened? Like, I look at the results and the energy that moves because you used your mind, not your imagination. That's just something that we call it that sounds whimsical, but you're actually using the powers of your mind, your mental state, your mental body. There's two mental bodies, to create a different result, to create a different outcome. So imagination is incredibly powerful. Einstein used to use it all the time. He didn't sit there and try and work things out. He sat there and imagined these universes and got information that way. So by opening to our imagination or imaginative faculty, it's our higher mind, which is one of the pathways up spirit. Absolutely. So I'd encourage people to sit and do some dialoguing with this aspect of self. Ask them what they need. If they've got any wisdom for you, that's a great question to ask. What is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to do? And then integrate them, which is about acceptance. Excuse me. It's about accepting that part of you and bringing it back into the fold. And you know, when you accept someone into your life, what do? You love them and you make them okay. It's the same process. It's just an aspect of us rather than the other. So that can be really powerful. I do this process. I've been doing this for years, and I do it on my laptop, and I just write everything that she says back to me. I write the question. So I've got a transcript, and honestly, some of the wisdom that's come out of these aspects of self, like I've done Facebook posts and, you know, taught clients on the wisdom that actually comes out of that. It's teachable. So it's a magical process, and really, really powerful and simple. You can do it on your own.
And I feel like if you're kind of starting out, I think I've read this somewhere that you could actually sit another chair in front of you, so it just kind of is like a guide as to where you would put the person and stuff like that.
That totally.
So as you were talking about that and talking about how those little aspects, or not little, but those aspects of ourself are, you know, they're valid. What they have to say is valid. It kind of reminded me of one of my friends who believes that men can't be trusted, and is like, yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, it's true. Whereas when I see stuff like that, I ask myself, do I enjoy believing that? And would it, like, my life feel better if I decided to believe something different? So that's how I, like, I don't actually go off what is, like, scientifically proven to be true. I go off what feels better to be true for me. What would you say to people like that who are, like, you know, maybe hers is, like, she knows and she's being defiant. That's her own journey. But what if people are, like, but I really feel like, for example, no one wants to hear what I have to say. I really feel like that's true. What do we do about helping to shine the light on that as a decision rather than truth, like cold, hard fact?
Couple of things on this. What we experience feels true. So if somebody's having the experience of not being heard, I always believe them. I don't necessarily believe they're not being heard, but I believe that is true in their world. So everybody's world is different, right? And it came to me one day that there's not just one universe, there's infinite universes, because I've created my universe. and you have created your universe, and every single being on this earth has created their own universe. It's just occasionally the universes collide and dance together, and then they go back to where they came from. So your and my universe is interacting now, and we're just having a shared experience in a shared universe, and then we'll, you know, disappear into our own universes. But what's true in your universe for you is truth. Whether or not I can see a different perspective doesn't mean that it's not true for you. So that's the first thing, is just because you're saying, I'm having this experience, oh, it mustn't be true, just honour that it is true for you. It's true enough for you to have a problem with it, right? But then if you can take a step back, or maybe imagine yourself standing beside yourself and talking about yourself and saying, Carly thinks that she's never heard, but that's what would you say about her? Carly thinks she's never heard, but actually what she's doing is she's always surrounding herself with people that don't connect with her properly. She's in the wrong circle. Oh, okay. If you could take a step out of your experience, what is a bigger truth? What is a bigger truth? That's one of the things I do, is I'm a channel for higher wisdom, right? So what part of your higher wisdom has a message for you about this truth? Because it will be limiting you in some way. And then you can go down the route of actually looking for evidence to the contrary. So where am I heard? So this is where the filters start to operate, yeah? So 99% of the time, nobody's saying to you, what'd you say? Oh, I didn't see you there. No one's saying that to you. But the 1% of time when you actually want to be heard and no one's hearing you, that's what we're focusing on. So we're saying, I'm never heard based on this 1%. So we start to look for evidence. Yeah. When, okay, well, I went to the shop and she actually heard what I ordered. Or I called the school and they answered the phone and didn't say, who's there? I can't hear anyone. I am being heard. So what is the evidence? And underneath that, I would say, what am I really afraid of? Because not being heard will be something like, no one cares, I'm not important, I don't matter. There'll be deep things that are showing up as this this trigger, and that's all it is. It's a trigger to show you something that's ready to be healed. So everything comes up when it's ready to be healed, normally at the most inconvenient time. But when you're ready and you've got the capacity around you and the support around you to heal whatever it is that's holding you back, it will come up. So there's always something deeper, you know, not being heard, nobody sees me. What's under that? What's under that? What's under that? And that's what I help people uncover. I'm very good at getting to what's right underneath. And when you shift that, then one of two things will happen. Either people will hear you all the time or you won't care anymore. Mm. Your experience will shift. So all we're being shown is the thing that we're ready to shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's totally my experience of life. Like, I can feel myself learning different lessons, and I have like one experience over here, and then after a week or two, I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm learning how to set boundaries in a different way, or whatever it is. It's like whatever you are ready to learn or ready to release, the universe around you that we are creating unconsciously will definitely teach us that. And if we can stay open to those lessons, and not, as you said, like a big part of your message seems to be like, don't make it wrong. It's not wrong. It's just here to show you something. And I totally agree with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody was saying to me the other day, oh, this person's shown up and they're exactly like blah, blah, blah. And I thought I'd learned that lesson. And I said, oh, what a beautiful way for God to show up and just check in that you're still paying attention. You know, because that's what it is. It's, people aren't here to piss us off. They're here because our higher self or God, whatever you want to call it, has plopped them in our way to go, hun, you got this going on. See how this is triggering you? This isn't working for us. We need to resolve this. And it's not about that person. Dig, 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 dig underneath will be the thing, will be the key, will be the limitation, will be the belief, will be, you know, the state of being, the decision, whatever that thing is, that's stuck energy. Really, really stuck. So it's not about whether it's true or not true. And you may check in with people and they say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I listen to you all the time. I hear you all the time. So they're actually invalidating your truth. That's why working with a coach or a mentor is amazing, because they can hold your truth and get you to question it really safely. so that you can have a different, have a really different experience of moving through that, that life experience.
It's funny that I feel as though as you journey through, you kind of have different experiences with coaches, like coaches, and the kind of coach that I've been as well, like at first, and even the kind of friend that I was at first when I realized stuff, I was making myself wrong all the time. So I made other people wrong and I was like, oh no, there's a better way. You don't have to feel like that. You can, like criticize myself and criticize everyone else around me. And now it's a place of acceptance, and like what I'm learning now is if I'm having a bad day, how can I surrender more to that and accept that more? And in that place of total acceptance of like, this is how it feels right now, this is the feedback, because it's just feedback that I've been putting this out to create this so I can take this as feedback, then where do I want to go from there? Because when I'm like, no, I can't feel like this. This is not good. I talk about inspired lives. Like, I can't feel like this. That does not help.
Hello, spiritual ego.
It's
sneaky, and it comes in and it says, you can't post on Facebook because you're not having a good day. It's like, oh, shut up. To me, you know, one of my most powerful posts I put up was earlier in the year. Must have been about March, and I was away on this amazing retreat with these other women, and everybody was, it was a business retreat, and everybody's, you know, putting out these inspired messages and getting their goddess photos done and their hair and makeup and just looking amazing. And I went through a breakup when I was on the retreat, which just dropped me like a stone. And I knew it was coming. This is about honoring your truth. I knew it was coming, and all the women were going, no, it's just your conditioning. I was like, don't, you cannot talk me this. I know this is actually happening. I'm, you know, this is my work. I'm psychic. I can feel the energy has changed. This is not, I'm not freaking out because of my conditioning. So I was already sort of, you know, out on a limb and out on my own when they were all sort of going, no, it's really positive. I'm like, no, it's not. But then what happened was when everybody was getting their photos taken and they were saying to me, you're going to come and get your photos taken now, are you ready? And I was just in floods of tears. I had my, you know, my beautiful bindi on, my beautiful dress, and I had my makeup done, but I had mascara just gushing down my face. And I was sitting on my knees in my room and saying, God, where do I go when everything I've learned over the last 9 years about how to do conscious relationship and how to be truthful and be in my power and be honest and create what I want to create, where do I go when everything I've learned has landed me back with exactly the same experience I had before I knew this stuff? And that was my heartbreak, was I felt like I'd been landed back. I'd made all these leaps and bounds, and I was showing up in a way I was really proud of, and it still happened. And so they were in my ear, and I had mascara running down my face and in my eyes, and they're like, oh, like, what are you doing? And come and get your photos taken. And I said, there's only one photo I want to take of me today, and I'll do it myself. And I took a photo of me with tears and red eyes and bloodshot everything. I took a photo of that and posted it online with that prayer to God, saying, where do you go when everything you've learnt lands you back in this space of despair? And it was one of the most powerful posts I've ever done. I had people jumping on it all over the place. And I did it because it's integration of all parts of ourselves. We've got to hold the bad days as sacred as we hold the good days. We've got to hold the breakdowns as sacred as we do the uplift. I am not an advocate of one-sided spirituality. If it doesn't balance the ascendant and the descendant, I'm not interested, because it's spiritual ego. It's going, yeah, I'm doing awesome. And, you know, and that's great. But what happens when you have a really challenging time? Because they come. They do come. And so I want to teach people how to be okay with all parts of themselves, the great, the not so great. You know, people come to me and they're crying or they're whinging or complaining. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't apologize. This is true for you. So I want to hear it. We want to stay here, but this is where you are. And it needs to be honored that sometimes we feel crap. And that goes for me as well. I'm not running around. It's not all fairies, dust and rainbows for me. The further I go on the journey, the bigger the lessons are and the more is on the line, you know. And I have to, part of my work in this world is to make the truth okay, all of it. All of it, including the icky, yucky, unhealthy, I don't want to show it to the world bits, because guess what? That's valid. And by me making that okay for me, I can make it okay for my clients. I can make it okay for the women in my women's groups. I can make it okay for, you know, the business owner who's punishing himself with what's going on. We can make it okay, because when it's okay, guess what? There's no resistance. There's no judgment. Moves through. Get the lesson. Move on. Thank you very much. Integration, integration of all of the parts of self.
Wow. I don't think we realized it, but it feels like that's what we've talked about this whole time, is actually integration.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I do. I talk about integration, not information. That's the work that I do. I'm not interested in people coming and learning something and getting a cerebral understanding of it and walking away and being able to recite something parrot fashion. I don't care what you remember consciously. I want to see the change in your bones. I want to see when you're back straightens up. I want to see when your shoulders drop. I want to see when your chest puffs out. I want to see when your head sort of, you know, flicks back and your eyes light up. I want that integration for you, for everyone on this planet. Otherwise, it's just more intellect, and that's actually not what we need right now.
Oh my God, Carly, you are such a powerful, powerful being. Everything you say is so full of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, my darling.
Oh gosh. Is there anything you want to finish on? Any last incredibly wise words you'd like to share with everyone?
I would like to say that I can't wait for you to get to know yourself as I already know you, as a truly powerful, truly remarkable, heart-centered, loving, wise, and world-changing human being. And I am fully excited to hold that vision for you, each and every one of you listening to this today, until you can hold that vision yourself and shine it out into the world. So from my heart to yours, I wish you an amazing journey and all the support that you need to affect the world around you, to be made available under grace and in accordance with the best and highest good of all concerned. That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you. And how can people come and find you if they would like you to support them on their journey?
Yeah, cool. Facebook at the moment, Carly Isis Ibrahim Sananda. I'm waiting to get my official name change documents back. Yay. So at the moment, you may need to find me under Kelly Graham, thanks to Facebook's laws. Otherwise, I'm on Instagram as well, Carly-Isis-Ibrahim-Sananda. So otherwise, they can find me through you, darling, as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. So they can head over to, actually, you can come on over to Facebook, facebook.com/aninspiredlifewithkiara, and you can tell Carly and I what you've enjoyed about listening. And maybe if there's anything that's kind of popped up that you didn't realize was even there that you'd like to integrate and in what you're going to do about that, we would love to hear what's come up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Any questions, welcome as well. Awesome. Yeah, questions, insights, or what's dropped in. I'm a major catalyst for people. So normally just interacting with me in some way will catalyze something. So I'd love to know what's been catalyzed within you. I just love it. It's my favorite thing.
Awesome. So please then come on over and tell us what came up for you as you listened. We would love that. And please, if you're listening on iTunes, head over and give us a review, like 5 stars. Tell us what you like about it, because the more that you do that, the more that other people can see that this is a podcast worth listening to. And it is, because we get amazing people like Carly on the show to share their wisdom. So we would love it if you could do that. Thank you again, Carly, for sharing.
Thank you so much for thinking of me and letting me come in and share some stuff with you today. It's just been beautiful to see you again, darling.
Thank you.
I'll see you again soon.
Yes, yes. And listeners, thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week. And if you want to hit share and tell other people about all of the amazing stuff that you've just listened to this week, please do. Because again, the more people who hear, the more people who realize that it's all okay. Everything is okay inside, and they can just share all of them with the world. Thank you.
Thank you, lovely. Have a beautiful day.
Bye. You too.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.